The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
Amen.
This is Jerry Raposa,
Janet Chandler,
and Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
And we are here with here. Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading, mm-hmm. in KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, where your talk radio. We're streaming live all over the world, and you can hear us online at kcnrradio.com, kcnrradio.com, and I want to wish Alex a happy birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
He's the man.
Yeah, 35 again.
There you go.
And the thing that's really great.
Another April baby.
April baby. Yep.
I've been 35 several times now.
Yeah, really, but then Janet here is 35-17.
All right.
So anyway, we are here today, and we're excited about our guest. We have a great community member, Gary Oxley, who's been here for a long time, has had successful business here. He's been a nurse. I know he helped my wife with hard candy when she was dehydrated. And I made him smile, and that was good. Not everybody can do that. But anyway, we're here with Gary, and Gary is running for supervisor in District 5. And Gary, give us a little background on yourself, sir.
Well, good morning, Terry, Wynn, and Janet. I appreciate you having me on today to let the people in District 5 in Chester County know a little bit more about me. So I moved here in 1995 with my sons, raised them here by myself. Worked at Ready Medical Center when I first came up here, then did some time at Mercy and did time down at St. Elizabeth's Hospital and a little bit of time over at the VA on Hartnell. Had a lot of great experiences in nursing. Taught me how to assess problems and how to evaluate the effectiveness of the plans that we put into place. And I think that's a real key part of leadership, is being able to assess a problem, make a plan for it, and then evaluate if it's effective. If the plan is not effective, you got to change it and move on. 'Cause the goal is to be successful. With the leadership, I think one of the best compliments that I had was while I was a director of nursing over at Vibra Hospital here on Eureka Way, I started their long-term acute care program over there in 2007 through 2009. And we took that hospital, and it became the flagship for their organization. And a result of the things that I was able to accomplish with the team, leadership is only as good as the team that they work with. And I had an amazing team over there, and we became the flagship for the hospital system. And they promoted me to a regional director, and I was in charge of several different hospitals on the western United States. Had a co-regional director who took the eastern states. But so I have those type of experiences where I know how to lead people. And again, it's what you do as a collaboration of people. I was the chairman of the local chapter of the CRPA here in town.
That's the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
And we helped co-author the Second Amendment resolution that was passed by the Board of Supervisors in 2013. And in this blue bag, Terry, that you now can open, is a gift I'm bringing to the three of you here. Because it's something that, in leadership, you have to be able to work with other people. And one of the things that we did for the California Rifle and Pistol Association, and we did it against all odds. We did it against what people thought we could not do. And we put together a fundraiser, and we raised over $10,000. And we were very proud of that. And that $10,000 was to go forth to put forth a celebration for our 250th anniversary. And these mugs that I gave to you are what we used as part of the fundraiser. So I wanted to share that with you because we are coming up in our 250th anniversary. I have a fond admiration for our founding fathers. And so I just wanted to share that with you. But I wanted to also share with you that this, again, was a project that people said we couldn't do, and we did it, meaning not just the Second Amendment resolution, but this fundraiser. We put together this fundraiser in 2 months, and we did an outstanding job. It was under my leadership, but it was the whole group of people working together. So I think the things that Councilman Gallagher and Supervisor Kellstrom often say is, well, Gary doesn't have any leadership. It doesn't have any politic experience. Well, that doesn't really matter because neither did they when they started. We all get elected into the positions that we're wanting to run for based on our leadership and our merit and our personal business lives. So I believe that I have the ability to do the things that needs to help run the Shasta County with the other Board of Supervisors and with the staff and with people in the community, because it all takes all of us to make things happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can say this about Gary Oxley. I mean, if you're looking for a citizen who cares about his county and his state and his country, it's Gary Oxley. I know that when I was in the CRPA with Gary, I asked him to stay on as president because he did a marvelous job. But the one thing I have to say about your leadership skill that I'm very impressed with is the fact that you know how to work with other people. I mean, that's the key. And I think, and not only that, but work with other people in a way that it's amiable to them. So I just wanted to give you those kudos because you deserve them. Now, the other, but I do want to ask you about a couple of things here.
Sure.
First of all, you know, we were talking about the sheriff before we came on here, and Patrick Jones, as most people know, has been quite verbal about what's going on with the sheriff, and I'm sure we're all a little bit upset about it. And Shasta Unfiltered has written two articles, maybe three now, on it. We did two shows on it. And what's your thought process on the unfunded liability in the county and the position of the sheriff basically double-dipping, if I may dare say, and a $445,000 a year salary. That's $1 million every 2 years.
So, you know, Terry, I go back to one of the reasons why I'm running, and that is we need to put God first back in our lives. And our founding fathers told us clearly that morality and religion are the pillars of political prosperity. If we don't adhere to those principles, and I'm talking about Sheriff Johnson being honest with the public, that should have been forthcoming. He probably would not have gotten elected if that had been the case. But to me, that was a deceptive lie. And if folks, you know, if you omit something, if you omit something on accident, that's one thing. But if you knowingly omit something that the public needs to be aware of, that is not okay. And the Board of Supervisors, that is not okay.
And that's against the law.
So we need to have people of integrity and honesty in these roles. So I am very disappointed in Sheriff Johnson. And if I just want to throw this out here. This is one of the reasons I oppose his alternative custody program, because in the grand jury report, it stated that we have drug bosses in the jail here just over the way. And if we can't keep drugs out of this current jail, then how can we keep drugs out of the alternative custody program that the folks down on 273 don't want in their back row? So I can tell you that that's not okay. We need people of integrity.
Yeah, and great answer. Also, there's the issue with Clint Curtis now, which I think personally is appalling, that you're going to try to censure him just before the election.
Oh, it's called election interference.
You think?
Yeah.
And the Board of Supervisors, to me, I'm getting, you know, you want the best of the people that are in office. You really do. But, you know, when you have a situation to where every time you turn around, they're going with establishment. You know, I know that, you know, we have asked, and I know this is Wynn's wheelhouse here, but we have asked every board of supervisor that has been elected to do a forensic audit, and not one of them, not one damn one, has done a forensic audit. But I know, would you do a forensic audit?
In a heartbeat.
And I believe
it has to be.
And I believe you.
And how can I operate a budget?
Absolutely.
If I don't know what's happening.
Bingo.
It's not, you guys, I am not a rocket scientist. God's given me certain gifts, and one of those gifts, I believe, is you have to look at things honestly and openly. There is nothing wrong with doing a forensic audit.
No.
And if I can go down a small audit that we need to do, and this is one of the points we can talk about later, Terry, we need an audit of Health and Human Services and Child Protective Services.
Yeah.
This is
where we start.
That's where I believe we need to start.
And I think the thing is that it's such a marvelous situation where some people, people can say what they want about Rich Gallardo. But if Rich Gallardo says he is going to do a forensic audit, Rich Gallardo will do a forensic audit. He would do it.
But he has to have the votes to do it.
Well, in other words, if he was in office.
Correct.
He would do it. Where we have people that have said they're going to do it and haven't done it. And to me, I know that really frosts you, but to me, I'm just tired of empty promises.
Or they waffle on the issue and say, well, I'm not quite sure what a forensic audit is, what it does, so I'd have to look into that. Come on, folks. Everybody who wants to be in government should know what a forensic audit is.
And if they don't, then they need to look it up.
Yes.
I'm just going to put a plug in here for Richard. Richard Gallardo is the one that actually initiated the Second Amendment resolution. He was part of our group. As the chairman, we ran with it. Mark Baird was played an instrument in that with us. And by the way, we donated $5,000 of that $10,000 that we gave to Mark Baird's case. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of what he's done. Rich can be a bull in the china shop. I know that. Everybody knows that who knows Rich. But Rich has integrity. He has honesty. He will get things done. He is so much more knowledgeable about the law than I am, and I would be very proud to serve with him on the board. So I'm just putting that out there because it takes more than – I can't do it by myself on the board. I think that Supervisor Plummer and Supervisor Harmon, Corky, could – go along with that, but it takes a majority to do those things. And I got to tell you, I know that Rich Gallardo would do an excellent job for this county.
Well, you know, and again, we're not advocating for one person to another, but in general, we're talking about, that's a very good point. Everybody's new at something once, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Every time.
You know, and you know, when you look at a situation, Janet, where you've got people that are running and you ask them to do something and they say they will, or they waffle on something, or they change their mind. I mean, I'm not going to get into a whole thing about Measure B, but let's just face it, folks. 10,000 people wanted Measure B. 10,000 people signed up saying they wanted Measure B. And there's been an argument, well, they really didn't know what they were signing. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
They knew exactly where they were going with that. It's just that people in county government didn't want them to know. They didn't want it to pass. It has passed. And now the will of the people has spoken. Democracy at the basic level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the county leaders now not to say, well, the people were wrong, but to back the people on Measure B.
And, you know, I just wanted to make a comment on Measure B. The Board of Supervisors voted for us to push, and the citizens voted for us to be a charter county. That gives the people the right to make amendments, to create initiatives for the amendment process in the charter county. These five people that started that process, when the board turned on them, that was the first reason, Terry, why I decided that I should maybe run. There are other issues that we can talk about, but that was the first thing that said, what is going on here? You have elected officials that are saying one thing, but now you're going to sue five citizens for exercising the right to do that. And it's been amazing to me how the board has acted so negatively about Measure B, county council gave not very sound advice, in my opinion, because every decision that he made and that the board followed was overturned by Judge Hanna. And now Measure B has come into the forefront. As a board of supervisors, if county council gives me advice, it is my responsibility to go and look and see if that advice is sound. If it's not sound, I need to have open communication with the county council and to discuss this, or maybe even get a second opinion elsewhere. But to just carte blanche go against the people when that right's been given to them by the law, to me was a real slap in their face.
Well, the other thing too is, several times speaking to board members, I'll ask them a question because I'm befuddled by what's going on, and they'll say, "You just don't understand." Then make me understand it.
Right.
Speak to me as a third grader. Whatever. Keep it simple. Let's break it down basic, because that's what you're looking at as far as your voters.
Right.
You want to keep it simple so the voters can make a quick decision on something instead of doing a thesis trying to figure out the damn answer to the problem.
Right.
We want to keep it simple.
Right.
So break it down, keep it simple, make me understand why you went a different direction than what you said you would do, and you seem to be okay with everything in the beginning. If you had a problem with it, why don't you say so? Or let us know that you've had a change of heart and why. But they don't do that.
Right.
And it's very frustrating.
It is.
The complaint against Measure B has always been, well, it's not legal. Hey, folks, every proposed legislation is illegal on its face because it's not law. So how do you make things legal?
Duh.
By presenting them, voting on them, and putting them within the law.
And where Larmer was standing was on the title and summary.
Yeah.
I went to the Secretary of State, to Weber. I got the documentation. I read it at the Board of Supervisor meeting. Joe Larmer always, always had to submit that. He had to submit it. And the thing is, if one of the Board of Supervisors would have seen that, we wouldn't even have that mess.
It was not an endorsement. It was a description.
That's exactly correct. I talked to Joe Larmer on the phone, and he even said, well, I can't give my opinion. I go, that's right. And I read a case, 1973, which is the bill number, that Bonta had to sign off on.
Mm-hmm.
As Attorney General of the state of California, he had to sign off on it. Weber had to sign, they had to sign it. And the bill was to leave the United States of America and have California become their own country. And I read that at the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
It was
concession. It was, he still had to submit the title and summary.
Right.
That's all this issue was.
A description. That's
he still
it.
Had to do it.
Yeah.
All he was doing is pushing paper at that point, if you look at it that way. All he's doing is saying, okay, I'm just doing the paperwork. It has to come from me through the county to wherever it needs to go. Done. That's it.
And, Terry, I was there that day that you read that in the Board of Supervisors meeting. And the other law that people forget is the issue with marijuana. Was marijuana illegal here? Yes,
yep.
But it was put on the ballot, right?
Yeah, right.
So their argument,
and the
there
feds
was no merit
say,
to their argument.
Yeah, the feds still say it's illegal.
Well, now the Department of Justice has come out and said now it's okay for medical marijuana use. And I'm telling you what's coming next. It will be legalized federally in a few years. What they did here in California, they're now going to do on the federal level. It's a no-brainer. They're now doing the whole medical marijuana. And now, at some point in time, I believe that they'll make it legal.
However, if you look at the Constitution, there's no place that says the federal government has the right to regulate marijuana.
They don't. I mean, that's
and
the
that,
whole thing.
That is.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, I have no heartburn if people are, as long as they're not getting in my face, doing what they need to do. Maybe that's the libertarian side of me. Mm. But I just don't want the government, as many people don't want the government, all over their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about that, Stephanie Bridget, allegedly did a little bit of electioneering and used her staff, et cetera, et cetera. And Patrick did a show on that on KQMS, yesterday, a segment with Kelly Frost. And he's done two segments with us, two different programs with us. And the county is going to defend Stephanie Bridget with our taxpayer money, because they're afraid she'll hire an attorney and she'll win, and that attorney's fees she'll try to throw back on the Board of Supervisors and on the county. And Larmer is using a case of sexual misconduct in a school by a counselor and a young woman. How the hell does that even correlate, Gary?
You know, I've read the court documents in this case. I support Patrick's movement, and I need to clarify why I support it. I support it if you're laying in your hospital bed and you start becoming sicker and sicker, and I'm sitting down at my nurse's station just twiddling my thumbs and drinking coffee, not paying attention to you. If I don't notice the red flags and call the doc to get some intervention for you, there's going to be a bad outcome. And I look at this as the same thing. There's a red flag here. And we owe it to the people of Shasta County to go down that path. She admitted that she did use her phone at work. Okay, was that really serious? Okay, that's not my, I'm not going to make that judgment call, but there's more evidence that needs to, that has been laid out and that needs to be uncovered. I do not believe that the taxpayers of Shasta County should pay for that. I respect Stephanie Bridget for her office that she has. She has a wonderful family, so I don't have, there's no intention to discredit her her personal life or her family, but I do not believe that Shasta County taxpayers should be paying for this defense at all.
When she has admitted that she used county time and county resources for her campaign.
Right.
There's no doubt as to whether or not this indiscretion happened.
And so there's supposedly there are whistleblowers. So we have to find out what all of that entails. But at the end of the day, until she is cleared of any wrongdoing, the county should not be paying for this, in my opinion. And like I said, it's with the greatest respect for her and her family. But if I was in that same role, I would not expect the county to pay for my wrongdoing.
And that was outside the scope of her job.
Right.
Yeah. So the case that Larmer cited is not really relevant to Stephanie Bridget.
Was it relevant at all?
Well, he's grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at his record, just with Measure B, how can I have any confidence in what he's saying in this case? I can't have any confidence in that.
I do not want my county government to be run by grasping at straws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or by taking bad advice and not weighing it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and again, you know, you have to look, you've got to look at the integrity of people. And you look at it, and when people are new, they're going to make mistakes.
Right.
There's no question about it. And I think that in personal conversations with Kevin Cry and other conversations with Kevin Cry, that he would like to go back on and change his vote, which he did do a couple of times, and now would support fighting for Measure B. But he's got to get everybody else to do it. There's other supervisors that haven't even budged on that position and have even dug their feet in harder. And I'm not saying that Kevin Cry will do what he's saying or won't do it. I have a tendency to think that he's coming around to a point of where I made a bad mistake. I need to rectify the mistake. So I think that's fair to assess that. I think in the other candidate, Aaron Reznor, who, you know, it's Aaron Reznor. I mean, look at the fiscal situation we've had in the city of Reading. I think Aaron Reznor means well and all that good stuff. But the point is that where is she going to go as far as in that particular race? And if she does win, what could she possibly do? What, she's going to help Shasta County get their unfunded liabilities under control? She's going to help with the budget when the city of Reading is, what, like $1 billion in debt?
And the city's unfunded liabilities are worse than
about
the county's.
About $1 billion, yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
Getting about cities, in your particular district, Gary, Anderson is a very large part of your district. Are there some things in Anderson that you, in the jurisdiction as a board of supervisor, things in your district that you want to do to help the people in your district?
Well, I think this leads to my second priority. The first one is
hold your thought because we got to take a break. So we're going to go off to our first break. We'll come right back and Gary's going to answer that question for us. If you have a question for Gary, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Best fight for you. power stand here in the way. And I will not give up on you. I will shield you from the pain.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Reading, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Myers. I'm the president and CEO of Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support and partnership over the years.
Hi, I'm Heather Kellenhofer, president of NorCal Breast Cancer Connection, continuing the legacy of NorCal Think Pink. We would like to express our sincere gratitude to Reading Rancheria for all the support over the years.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Rescue me. Or take me in your arms. Rescue me. I want your tender charm, cause I'm lonely and I'm blue. I need you and your love too. Come on and rescue me. Come on, baby.
Sally Lou. That's great, honey.
Rescue all of us.
Rescue me. We need people to rescue us. No, we need to rescue ourselves.
Yes.
Gary Oxley. Okay, we were talking about the city of Anderson and that being a large part of your district. And what are some of the, a couple of quick things? I know you have a couple of other things we need to talk about. A couple of quick things that you think you could sort of help from the jurisdiction you have a supervisor with some of the things that are going on in Anderson.
Well, the Anderson Police Department has already brought this forward, and I'm glad that they're doing it. And that was the issue with the runaway kids and the issue with the adolescents in Anderson. This brings me to the second point. And this is a big issue in Shasta County and down in District 5. There have been documented a lot of cases with Health and Human Services and Child Protective Services not doing their due diligence and providing reunification services for families. And those affect a lot of people in District 5. There's a small group of, can't remember the exact number, but there's a small group of men, and I've been meeting with some of them, and they're sharing their stories with me about what has happened, and also with women as well, mothers. It's not just men that have had their rights terminated, but women as well. So nobody's perfect, right? None of us are. But all these folks that I have met with and talked to, they've jumped through all the hoops that were instructed for them to pass through by the Child Protective Services. They did those things. They graduated from those. But you guys, in the time that was remaining in their cases, there was never any reunification therapy provided to get the family and the kids back together. That is huge. Now, our supervisor, Kellstrom, and I hate to say it, but Kevin, Supervisor Cry, I'm not going to mention the other one because I haven't been able to validate that with him, but we've got at least three supervisors sitting on the board who do not feel that is within their jurisdiction to look at the red flags that these families are bringing forth. I know Supervisor Kellstrom refused to talk to this one lady after multiple times.
Really?
Yes. And I was the one. Wendy and I, as nurses, know that when the law says you can't talk about something because it's confidential, you don't do it. So we didn't do it, but we strongly encouraged this one mother to go to Supervisor Kellstrom for help, and he refused to do it. So how can I help the people in District 5 with this issue? I can't get into the legal aspects of it. That's not our jurisdiction. But we do have jurisdiction over the processes and policies, and we can have a review, an administrative review of those processes and see what's happening. When you read something and it's black and white, it's hard to say that it's not true. So when I'm reading these court documents, it's hard for me, you guys, to say that we're not going to do anything. So there is not a more protected right that I know of in the Constitution than parental rights. I can't recall all the different amendments that the courts have used to support parental rights. But to me, the biggest issue, and this is there was a lot of things that Supervisor Kellstrom did that made me cringe and look at through the glass window from the outside. But when I found out that what he was doing with parental rights, it's like, okay, that's where I'm running. That's why I'm coming into this, is because as a nurse, my primary responsibility is an advocate for you. And if I'm not living up to that responsibility, then I should lose my license. If we've got supervisors who don't have the courage to stand up and say, hey, we're going to review this. You brought this to our attention. We need to review this. If they don't have the courage to do that, then I don't believe they need to be sitting on the board. And I will, and so Terry, in response to your question to me, that's one of my first priorities that needs to happen.
Now, what would be the third thing that you would want to do?
The third thing is the business personal property tax exemption. The state of California allows a $10,000 maximum exemption for small businesses to write off $10,000, less than $10,000, of personal property. So when Wendy and I had our business, the stapler, the paperclips, the computer, everything added value.
Toilet and paper.
And the county taxed you on that stuff every single year. Now, there's 58 counties, and I believe there's only 6 counties who offer that maximum $10,000 exemption. Shasta County Board of Supervisors review this every year, and they're only allowing $1,900.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because they're looking at the bottom line. They're looking at revenue. You're going to lose revenue. And my point is, and I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce the other day on this issue. If we're losing more businesses because they can't pay their taxes, then that's less revenue for the county and city. To me, we need to be smaller government, bigger business. We need to provide those people the opportunity to save money. Look how many realtors could benefit from this. People who work from home who could save $1,000 or more on their taxes. And now, guess what? I don't know about you guys, but when I get a tax return, what do I do with it? I'm spending it. So if people have an extra $1,000, where's that going to go back? It's going to go back into the community. This is not rocket science. The Board of Supervisors need to follow Orange County, and this is where I learned it from, was Orange County. Orange County's doing it. Why can't we do it? Our small businesses, you guys, we're paying $6 a gallon for gas, $7 for diesel. We need to be able to provide things for our businesses and support them. Just like our families, if we don't put our businesses and families first, the government's going to fail because they're not going to have any money.
Yeah, I think that the main thing is, too, is that it drives me crazy is when people come in who are running for office or politicians and they say, well, we want to create jobs. The government doesn't create jobs except government jobs.
Right.
You know, and what Gary's talking about basically is saying, okay, let's get out of the way and let the economy grow. And that's exactly what people need to be doing. I just think that, you know, I think for a lot of us here that have been engaged in the political process for quite some time, and we've seen people that we want to bring into office, yet they are doing almost the complete opposite of helping us get our liberty. It's heartbreaking. And, you know, I mean, there's a couple of good things, and there's good things that I know that the supervisors that are running have done in their particular districts that have helped people. But there's also many, many, many things they've done that haven't helped those people in the district. Now, that was number three. You said you wanted to talk a little bit more about Clint Curtis.
I do. You know, I've read his letter that he wrote to the Secretary of, I can't remember her name right
Secretary
now.
Of State.
Secretary of State.
Weber?
Weber, yes.
Yeah.
I read that, and I haven't had a chance to go through and look at the processes that he implemented, but in reading those, I don't know why anybody would object to those things. Again, it goes back to red flags. If you had red flags, if he's under oath, I can't remember how many extra votes we had more than voters. I know that when Wendy and I lived in
1,500 or 2,000 or
something like that. When Wendy and I used to live in town, and we moved out to Durst Road, and that's where we're developing our ranch out there. We got out at Durst Road. We got our voter the ballots for our new address.
Okay.
But we got the deceased husband who lived there before, his ballot, and somebody else's ballot at our new address. So that's four different ballots that came to our new address. We also got two different ballots we got at our old address. So I told Wendy, I said, wouldn't it be interesting to try to see if we could cheat? Now, I can't it would have been interesting. Now, we did not do that.
Right.
But the thought crossed my mind.
Right.
I can vote over here on Quartz Way. I can vote over here on Durst Road. And I can even vote for this respected deceased gentleman.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
No,
so
that's
if
not okay.
So people will say, well, that's just conspiracy or whatever. But that was the fact. And it's a red flag. And so if we have red flags, I think we do a disservice to the community when we don't pay attention to those red flags and look at them. So I think this whole thing with censoring Clint, I have not had an opportunity to call him, but I will. I want to hear from him firsthand because I will be speaking at the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday.
Shasta Unfiltered wrote a very, very good article on that.
I read it.
You read it? Yeah,
I
very
did.
Good article. If you guys see that, share that. And just hold your thought for
sure.
A minute because I want to make sure people get this. We do archive forever and ever.
Amen.
That's right. And if you go to our archive, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, and you go to this show will be up 5 minutes after we're done?
Five minutes. Unfiltered was on here Friday talking about that article, too.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And so the thing is that if you go to our archive, you can hear this and share this. If you're in District 3, I would, just like we asked for the other supervisors in District 3 that we had it interviewed, that you go to.
He's District 5. That's what he's running for.
Oh, what did I say?
3.
Who's running for District 3?
Nobody.
Corky holds that position.
Oh, my gosh. Did I actually say that? Was
you
that a Freudian slip?
It was just a slip. Terry, you're not.
Slip. I know.
You know, I saw you swim once, and you went underwater trying to walk on water. And I did, too. So.
Well, I'm glad that you were walking on it, and you pulled me up. So the thing
should've
is.
I held him down.
Yeah. Thanks, little brother. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the thing that we have to be looking at now. Go to these archives. You can list all three of the candidates for District 5 and make your own decision. That's why we do it. So go back to that and go to those archives and listen to that. And if you're someone who likes what Gary Oxley is talking about, share that with people. Even if you're not a fan, share it with people anyway so they can get the message out of each one of these supervisors.
In the interest of consistency, what did the board do as far as censuring goes when Kathy Darling Allen and Joanna Francescott lied to them and withheld information about the Zuckerbucks?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So that wasn't worth a censure.
And I got to tell you, I'm going to bring something up that, you know, I don't like to talk about negativity, things about people, but when Supervisor Kellstrom, when his private conversations leaked out about a county employee and the things that he said about him and what he said about another member of our community, we don't know whether those conversations happened at home or at work, but if they did happen at work, would that not fall under the same guise of censorship? So I think we need to be really careful when we talk about censoring people. I, as a leader in healthcare, I know that I had to make really tough decisions, and I had to, unfortunately, fire a lot of people. And I can tell you that there were some people that got really angry at me for doing that.
Well, these alleged allegations that people have against Supervisor Kellstrom, in that, I'm a little lost on the content of that. I mean, was he out having breakfast and this person walked by him? I mean, the point is that what they're trying to say with Clint Curtis is that basically in a roundabout sort of way, he's using his authority in his office under the color of law in an illegal way. That's what they're trying to say. I'm not so sure that, you know, I mean, if you have a conversation with a fellow employee, I mean, it's a he said, she said. So, I mean, if there's something a little more specific, I mean, I could compare the two. But at this point, I think what they're doing to Clint Curtis, I think it's terrible with the timing. I think it's terrible the way that they're doing this to him.
And they're not being consistent.
And I don't know if there's a comparison to anything else. And frankly, with all due respect, I don't care. I just don't like what they're doing to him. And how could you do that to somebody who you guys brought him in?
Yep.
Three of you brought him in, for hell's sakes.
Are they censoring the sheriff and the county tax collector for not notifying the board that they had retired?
When they should have.
By law, they should have. That was part of the law.
And it's just poo-poo. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
all
that
right.
Happens, you know.
Mistakes are made. Yeah, you know.
So, mistakes. Consistency. Consistency, and we're not seeing it.
None of it.
When it's not intentional, it's not a mistake.
Right.
It's not a mistake.
And, you guys, this is why one of the biggest priorities that I have, and I know that some folks have differences of opinion on this, but our founding fathers are really clear about putting God first in our lives and not dictating through government what people should believe. But those values and morals play a part of what happens in the community. And it comes from the top down, in my opinion. So what I would like to see is I'd like to see our national model put above the county insignia in the board chambers. I would like to have a historical, and I underline and capitalize historical, Ten Commandment monument placed on the administrative property up there by the Board of Supervisors. There's a Supreme Court justice case, Van Orden versus Perry, that totally supports that. And then the other issue that I have, and again, it's a non-binding, but it makes a statement, and that is I would love to have a resolution passed by the Board of Supervisors to promote the historical values that our founding fathers held so dear that created this country. Our country, we're going into 250 years, and we are the longest standing constitution ever. Mm-hmm. That was not by mistake, you guys. Mm-hmm. Those men and their wives who supported them, those people, I believe, were inspired by God.
Yep.
They even said they were. So to me, we're talking about integrity of people. It needs to come from the top down, and I just want to point out President Clinton. He made a mistake, a really bad mistake, with Monica Lewinsky, all right? That's probably one of the worst mistakes a husband could make. But then you go and lie about it, that's even worse. And I think we need to get back to a point where, you know, we all make mistakes. Our current supervisors have made mistakes. If you make a mistake, own up to it and fix it. But if you can't own up and fix it, then you need to get out of the way, and that's why I'm running.
That's usually because there's too much pride in the way.
It is.
And you should not be hanging everything on your pride. You cannot do that.
It's not about us.
President Clinton did not get in trouble for what he did with Monica Lewinsky. He got in trouble for lying about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. So I believe that I have the leadership skills. I don't know how much time we have left, Terry, but I believe I have the leadership skills. I know how to work with people. I know that there's a lot of people out there that think that I am the worst thing since whatever, because I'm splitting the vote with between me and Supervisor Kellstrom, and that might give an edge to Council Member Gallagher. But that's not the issue. Everybody gets to vote for who they want, and for me not to run because for various reasons, lack of money, lack of whatever, there are things that motivate people to run. And the reason that I'm running is because a lot of our parental rights have been taken away from families. We really need to put God back in our lives, and I really believe businesses need to come first. We need to make our government here, our county government, smaller and help our businesses get bigger.
You know, parental rights, it kind of cracks me up as a word. And there's a young woman, Robin Latow, who's running for
Congress.
And I talked to her at length the other day. She's coming on the show on May 17th. Really liked her a lot. But, you know, when we talk about parental rights, what the hell is that? Of course we have parental rights. It should be unsaid that we have parental rights. What's the government even doing in that? You know, what is the government even doing in that? And I know, Gary, that it's not your jurisdiction to really get into this stuff as far as schools, but that doesn't mean that you can't be an advocate for what's right.
That's correct.
And that's the issue. And I think that we all grow. We all grow every day. We all change opinions on different things. We watch how things go. Especially if you've been in this for as long as we all have been, you kind of watch how things grow and you see the cream rise to the top. I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of things here. And a lot of people, again, it's sort of like, you know, to me, when somebody just says, well, you know, it's just not my job. Well, it may not be your job, but as a citizen, you have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And as a leader, you have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about a position, and the other thing is, too, it's really up to the people. I mean, I respect what you're talking about, Gary, 1,000,000,000%. And I respect everything that Moms of Liberty and everybody's doing, 1,000,000,000%. But come on, it's up to the parents. We don't own up for our own responsibilities as citizens and, frankly, as children of God. We don't live up to our particular situation that we need to. No matter how that looks to you, but it's still going to be up to the people.
It is, and I tell you, Terry, one of the reasons I want those three things done under the auspice of put God first back in our lives is because we have the people who commit most of the crime are from our lower social economic class, unfortunately. They're from
I don't know, I think they're in the government.
Well, Terry, the good point. Yes, that's a very good point. But we need to strengthen those families. We need to help that little boy who comes from a broken home. And in my opinion, we need to give him the option of God. Do you know we spend millions of dollars on these nonprofit organizations, and we really look at their outcomes, they're horrible. Our adverse childhood experiences are higher. We're way up there with the state. Mm-hmm. Suicide's up. Divorce is up. Everything's up, but we're giving millions of dollars to these folks. Do you know two agencies that I never really hear a lot of, and I know we're running out of time? And that's Alcoholic Anonymous and Narcotic Anonymous. Do you know why they're so successful? It's because the first step says they acknowledge a higher power. That's not make-believe. So to me, we're doing an injustice when we don't use these mental health services that we're giving millions of dollars to. Give the people the option about God. We've taken God away from people without even their consent. We've taken the Bible away. You know, President Reagan said that all of our problems could be solved if the answers to all of our problems could be found in the Bible.
Well, if everybody was saved, we wouldn't have a problem. So,
there you go.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And if all the people that are for abortion were aborted, we wouldn't have a problem. So, you know. So basically, when you look at all this, and you look at a situation that we have, I'm going to go back to Wynn's favorite term, forensic audit. Everything we've talked about here, my friend, Wynn Carpenter, has been saying for
years.
Yet not one of you out there who are an elected official, not one of you, have put forth a forensic audit, even though you promised us you would.
And I've heard excuses as to why it just can't be done.
Because we don't understand. That's when I say, make me understand. That has always been my thing. It's like, well, then make me understand why you can't do a forensic audit.
And to end with, I always told my children, if somebody wants you to do something, especially as you get older in life, and they want you to sign something or do something, it's their responsibility to make you understand, not your responsibility to go somewhere where you don't have knowledge. It's their responsibility, and Janet is a teacher. That's exactly what you did. You taught them and made sure they understood it.
I think one other thing that I just want to say is that, because I know we're running out of time, I'm retired, and it feels pretty good. Why I came out of retirement was to do what I'm doing today.
Like the beard.
But I can tell you that I would, thanks, Terry. Well, it won't grow on top of my head, so it has to grow
on your chin.
I'll take care of that for you.
You've got plenty. I'd much rather be developing my ranch than doing this. I'd be totally honest with you. But again, it goes back to advocacy. The other thing that we talk about is funds. I was appalled when the supervisors gave them this $31,000 pay raise and a $5,000 car allowance, and they denied a 40 cents per hour raise for in-home support service workers. To me, I'd like to get I would like to decrease our salary back to where it was. For myself, as a retired person with my retirement and Social Security, I can work I think I get to work and make $2,000 a month. If I get elected, that's all I'm taking. The rest is going to go to some kind of benefit to help these families.
The way I understand it, 4 out of 5 of them already have plenty of money for supervisors.
There you go. And Wendy and I have been blessed. We don't have a lot of debt, and we're pretty simple people. We don't need a lot. But I just wanted to throw that out to people because there's been a couple of people that have said, well, are you running in it just because you're retired and you want more money? No. There's not enough money to do this job that I could.
Right.
So, yeah, right. It's not about that. So, anyway, I just want to thank you guys for letting me come on today. I don't know how much more time we have, or do you have any other questions?
Yeah, how do people get a hold of you, and, you know, where do they go? How do they donate money to your campaign, et cetera?
So you can go to Oxley Supervisor District 5, the numeral 5.com, and you can donate on there if you'd like to. I really tried to, and Terry, I took your advice, and my little daughter developed a little family video that we think is really cute, and we put it on there. We really are trying to show that we're just common folk that love our country. And so you can go on there and learn about me. You can see the top 3 priorities that I spoke about today, but there's other priorities that need to be addressed too. I think, Terry, and you've brought this up to me a couple of times, what are we going to do about the roads? And I keep thinking, what are we going to do about the roads? What have our current supervisors done about the roads? So there's an issue that I don't quite understand why the roads aren't being taken care of. I have to figure that out, and I haven't had a chance to
do that. We're giving the money to Health and Human Services.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Terry. Mm-hmm. It's going somewhere. Because we're all pretty close to the same in age, and I got to tell you that once upon a time in California, we had the best roads in the state, in the nation, in my opinion. And now it's horrible. So
as a Californian, I drove from California down into Texas in the central part of Texas several times, and drove through Texas several times. The roads are beautiful.
Yep.
It's like you're floating.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about dodging potholes or, you know, asphalt popping up out of the ground or whatever. They take it seriously down there. And their speed limit's 85 miles an hour in spots. So you don't travel fast like that on crappy roads.
No, you don't.
Try I-10 going from California into Arizona. Yeah. It's bumpity bumpity bump bump smooth as soon as you hit the Arizona border. Mm-hmm. But then now we know what's happening to our roads. The money is being stolen by the California administration.
Yes.
Sure it is.
Yes.
Sure.
But in the county where they have responsibility, they can take care of that.
But then California has been dumping all of these responsibilities onto the county, such as jails and other things, so they don't have the extra money they used to have.
And, you know, you guys, there's going to be a lot of issues that come up. And my My stance is you put the people first all the time.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. And Gary Oxley, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming up. Come on.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Share this program.
Amen.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.